Our scripture today. Well, let me start this way. You may have heard that it's Super Bowl Sunday, and you got to recognize these sacred holidays on in church, and so in honor of the Super Bowl, I'm gonna move my sermon to another church and deflate it by 3 minutes. I just wasn't sure that joke was going to work, and I'm so glad it did. Sorry. Yeah, I'm preaching on love thy neighbor in the midst of that joke. We've been reading through the New Testament, and if you're unfamiliar with what we're doing, we're reading a chapter of the New Testament Monday through Friday. We're calling this the Journey Through the New Testament. If you go on your phone to lwinfo.org, scroll down to Journey Through the New Testament, you'll find that you can sign up for emails that you'll get every morning. They go to your email about 3:30 in the morning, something like that, so it'll be there when you wake up, unless you're really can't sleep, or when you're getting ready to go to bed, I don't know, whatever you do. So it will also give you the scripture link of what to read as well as a devotion. And so we will finish the book of Matthew this week on Matthew 28 is the last chapter of Matthew we'll read on Thursday. Mark 1 begins on Friday. So if you have not joined in on the journey through the New Testament, and you're going, oh man, I just, you know, I'd have to go back up and start the whole book of Matthew. And don't do that. Start on Friday. Sign up for the emails, start on Friday, join us, start on Friday, Mark 1 on Friday, and then you'll be right up with the rest of us. Each week then, we preach on some of those scriptures that you've read through during the past week. Now, I'm going to cheat a little bit. We're going to read a scripture from this past week, but I'm also going to use a scripture from next week, and you'll see what that looks like in the sermon time. So today we're reading from Matthew 22, beginning at verse 3. 34. Have your phones or Bibles out so you can follow along. When the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. Teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest? He said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment, and a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So I want to ask you some trick questions. See how you do. We'll see if this works out. How can a person go 8 days without sleep? Sleep at night. I told you it's a trick question. Pastor 1, congregation 0. Before Mount Everest was discovered, what was the highest mountain in the world? Yeah, you're catching on. It's a tie. How much dirt is there in a hole that measures 2 feet by 3 feet by 4 feet? None. It's a hole. All right, you're getting ahead of me. If a plane crashes on the border of the United States and Mexico, where will the survivors be buried? You don't bury survivors, they hope. Does England have a 4th of July? Yeah, and a 5th, 6th, and 7th, too. All right, football question. A man makes a claim that he can predict the exact score of every football game before it even begins, and he's always right. How is that possible? Before it begins, every football game is 0-0. Pretty sure that's how the game will start this evening. What two words, when combined, hold the most letters? Mailbox, close, post office. Okay, one more. That's all I can put you through. How many books can you put in an empty backpack? Well, you can put one, and then it's no longer empty. Okay. I warned you, they were trick questions. The Pharisees approach Jesus with a trick question. That's what that was all about. They approached Jesus with this trick question. The idea was they had a lawyer with them, a scribe, depending on your translation. The scribes were the people who made sure that everything, they kept track of the laws of the Old Testament, the Hebrew scriptures. And the Pharisees were a very religious sect in Judaism who tried to follow to the letter of the law exactly. No gray at all. It was black and white to them. As a matter of fact, one group of the Pharisees was known as the Bloody Chins. Seriously. The reason they're known as that is there's a commandment in the Old Testament that says you will not look down on the poor. And there's another commandment that says you will not look at a woman with lust in your heart, right? So they would walk around like this. So they wouldn't look down and they would run into walls and bloody their chin. True story. You can't make this stuff up. They were the religious legalists who wanted to catch Jesus. They already didn't like where he was going. He was gathering a crowd. He was kind of pushing people away from their religious sort of, their way of doing things. And so they devise a way of tricking him. You see, if they can trick him and he says something that's not proper, they can call it blasphemy and stone him to death. So this is pretty high stakes. And so they ask him a question that a properly trained religious leader of the day would know the answer to. And if said properly, you're fine. Improperly, stoning. So they ask him the question. What is the greatest commandment? Now, a properly trained, good Jewish teacher would know the answer to that. What is the greatest commandment? The answer is none. All commandments are equal in the eyes of God. That's the right answer. They're trying to trick him. They offer the trick question. And Jesus comes back at him with the wrong answer. Kind of. Here's what he does. You have that in front of you, I hope, Matthew 22. We don't do this very often here, but I'm going to ask you to read along with me. Here's how he responds. Because he recasts the understanding of those many laws, those many commandments, 600-something they had to follow. And he recasts the understanding in a way that they can't respond. So to their trick question, he gives a trick answer. Here it is, Matthew 22, 37. Go ahead and put it up there. Read this with me. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. Now, what he's done is he's just read off to them one of those commandments. That came from Deuteronomy 6, chapter 6, verse 5. He's just given them one. Now, if he leaves it at that, they pick up rocks. But he takes a step farther. And he says, another is like it. And he says in Matthew 22, 39, read this with me. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Now he's given two. And again, that's one of them from Leviticus 19, 18. But then he caps it off. And you don't have to read this with me. But he caps it off in verse 40. He says, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. They offer Jesus a trick question. He gives them a trick answer. He says, in summary, love God, love your neighbor. That's the point. And they couldn't argue. They couldn't argue. Clearly they couldn't. Clearly they accepted that as, okay, we've been befuddled, we're going to walk away like nothing really happened. We're going to try to hide and come up with another trick question later. It's a trick answer, but for you and me, it maybe not so much. Maybe it's not meant to be a trick answer. Maybe it's just meant to be God saying to us, let me simplify this for you. Because 600 and something commandments is just a little too tough for you. Let me simplify it. Let's go with two. Love God, love your neighbor. Let's just call that one. And we refer to that as the Great Commandment. The Great Commandment, love God, love your neighbor. And that commandment is repeated throughout the New Testament in some way, shape, or form, but especially that love your neighbor thing. Love one another, Jesus says. We're taught in the book of John and the letters of John, this new commandment I give you, that you love one another. So Jesus puts that out there in a much simpler way, and I think because it's repeated over and over, we can assume that God assumes that about us, that that's what we're going to do, that that's the plan, that's what we're going to seek to do. But here's the issue I recognize. I know this to be true, and this is the reason why I personally subscribe to the theology of John Wesley. John Wesley, the founder of the Methodist Church back in the 1700s, Wesley believed that any theology, if it didn't have practical application, was really meaningless. That if you say something that's supposed to be some theological truth, you got to be able to apply it to your daily life. So in understanding that Jesus tells us, love God and love your neighbor, if I walk away from this sermon and just say, go and do likewise, what has it done for you? So let me offer you kind of a practical way of understanding this. Let me say this. I think that this love your neighbor thing is while it's simple in concept, it's very difficult to apply. I recognize that. I understand that. And I could preach on just this passage for, I don't know, the next 6 or 8 weeks, but I won't. We'll move on from this. How do we live that out? At Living Word, we have those four cornerstones that we call it, the four cornerstones of our faith, the four pillars is another phrase we've used. And the pillars of our faith are a way that if we do these four, it helps us grow in our faith life. And it's not the only four in the world. It's just these four are the ones that we've decided to focus on. Worship, learn, serve, and celebrate. So as we think about how does love your neighbor interact? Because the loving God thing, we got that down, don't we? I mean, we show up to church, we worship, we sing the songs, we turn on Christian radio as our drive to work. I'm not making light of that. All those things that you do, the devotions you read, the scripture that you read, the prayers that you offer are all about loving God. And that's the easy part most of the time. And I know sometimes that this loving God thing is not so easy when life kind of seems to be against you and you just cry out, oh God, are you watching this? Where are you in the midst of this mess? I know sometimes that happens. And so sometimes loving God's not so easy, but the action, the activity of loving God, coming to worship, singing the songs, that's not terrible difficult. But the loving your neighbor thing, how do we apply it? So, worship, learn, serve. I think serving is how you apply it. Celebrate, we're going to talk about next week as a part of the same thing. But here's why I say this. You see, Jesus in Matthew 25, which you'll read tomorrow in this journey through the New Testament, Matthew 25, Jesus gives us kind of a little view of what it means to love our neighbor. So we've just talked about the Great Commandment, love God and love your neighbor. Some people call this passage of Scripture the Great Compassion, what it means to love. And a portion of that, it's the Scripture about the sheep and the goats, right? Any of you know the cake song? Sheep go to heaven, goats don't. That is such a obscure reference. I had one person shake their head yes in the last service and four in this one, so I'll scratch that off for next time I preach that. So in that, there's this separation of the sheep and the goats, and the goats are obviously the ones that don't do right, and the sheep are the ones that live according to what this illustrates. In Matthew 25, 37 to 40, it reads like this. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when was it we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you? And the king will answer them, truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me. How do we love somebody? When they're hungry, we feed them. When they're thirsty, we give them a drink. And I don't think this is meant to be an exhaustive list. I don't think that we go through the list and go, okay, this week I did 4 out of 5. It's close enough. I don't think it's meant to be that. What I think it's meant to be is we look around and we find the need and we fulfill it. We live it out. We do it. We see the need around us and we fulfill it. Because what we know, because we learned in psychology 101 in high school, we learned that Maslow's hierarchy of needs. Remember that one? And I know there's some psychologists that have argued against it now, but the idea in that is that somebody who's starving has trouble thinking about God. And what we want to do is move them to their love of God. But if they're unsafe, hungry, in need of another to give them a hand up, they can't focus on those spiritual things that are part of our job too. We'll talk about the spiritual next week. We're supposed to look around and see what the need is. Oftentimes I get asked the question, okay, but what's the limit? What's the limit of me offering for people in need? Because I need to know, where do I draw the line? I got bad news for you. Jesus' answer, I think, is found in John 15:13. He says, no one has greater love than this to lay down one's life for one's friends. There's your boundary. So as we think about practical application, and I don't think that means a daily laying down your life for another, but as we think about practical application, let me tell you what we're going to do here at Living Word to help you serve the needs of other people. And I don't think this is so much proof of you loving your neighbor, but conditioning your heart to be able to love your neighbor. Right? It's kind of thanks be to God, February 12th, pitchers and catchers report, and life begins again. They go through the exercise for several weeks before they play the games, because it's the practice that makes them experts at the game. It's the practice of our faith that conditions our heart to love our neighbors. So a couple of weeks ago, we have a mission team that met, and the purpose of meeting was to divide up the miracle offering you gave at Christmas. If you were here at Christmas Eve, you had an opportunity to contribute to the miracle offering, and that miracle offering, it went to 7 organizations, 2 international and 5 local. And the idea of this is to partner with these specific missions to make it possible that you can serve and not just give. Let me tell you something that happened. It was the week before I started as your pastor. I was at another church, not here, and not the church I had just moved from either. And I ran into somebody that I knew at that church, and that person said to me, now let me say as I say this, this is home to me. I grew up in West St. Louis County. I'm a Parkway Central grad. The parsonage and the house I grew up in are 8 miles apart. So I'm home here. I'm one of you. And this person said this, and I was as offended as I suspect you're going to be, and they said this. They said, oh, you're going to West County? Jeez, those people will put money to anything, but they won't do anything about it. Does that describe you? I didn't think so. So, it's important to understand that as we've made this offering, I wanted to make sure that we put the offering toward organizations that we could also put our hands and feet to, that we could work with. And let me share with you how that panned out. So We have not given up on Ghana. The Ghana ministry has enough funds to carry for a couple of years, maybe a year and a half, something like that. It just depends on the rainy season, basically, and how many wells they can get dug and buildings they can get built. And so what we did was we put some of those funds to the contingency fund, which means that it's not designated for something in specific, but if a well that we've already dug years ago, a borehole is what you've normally called it, if the pump apparatus breaks, we can fund the replacement of it. So you got to have those contingencies for things like that. If a roof blows off a church building or a school building that we built, we can replace that. So so we put some money toward the contingency fund. We also put money toward, oh, by the way, I'm going to Ghana in the fall. Who's going with me? Couple more? Another? Yeah, so it's not just money, right? We're going there. Then the other international mission is in Juarez, Mexico, where we partner with an organization that builds houses. These are very humble houses. These are one-room brick houses with tin roofs. But they give a family the dignity of having a place they can call their own. And so we'll be building two houses. Actually, we already built one this year, but that was from money prior to the miracle offering in Christmas Eve. And so we're going to build two more, and we're going to do that this fall. Who's going to Juarez? Might want to think about it. Denise raised her hand. So Denise is leading. But we're going to have an adult trip and a youth trip. And you're welcome to go. I intend for you to go, because it's not just about what you do with your money. Now, the other five are local missions, and I want to list those and tell you ahead of time. First of all, I have not served a church yet until this one that is able to say at Christmas Eve, we don't need that money for our general fund because you give that year-round. We can give this all to mission. I would love to be there in other churches that I've been in, but we needed Christmas offering to make budget. But you guys have figured out how to do this so that you can do big things. 130,000 plus on that Christmas Eve offering. That's excellent. That's wonderful. So what we did with the local missions, we divided the remainder of the funds after we did Juarez and Ghana. We divided the remainder of the funds. We're giving $24,500 to each one of these five. And for a local mission, that is game-changing money. That's a big deal. So here's what we're doing. We met with one of them this week, Agape House. We got a picture, I think, of us presenting a check to the people at Agape Hope House, which is Help House, which is in Pacific. And so they asked if we could participate by helping them buy a vehicle. They said that they had a vehicle that goes to the different grocery stores around town. I don't know if you knew this, but there's an agency that coordinates with all the grocery stores around town and divides up which mission gets to go to which grocery store to pick up their day-old bread. And you know how you have the end cap at a grocery store, and when they don't sell out of all that stuff, they donate that stuff. They had a van that they said they were pretty sure they could get it to leave their parking lot every week, weren't sure it would come back. So we're buying a vehicle for them as part of that $24,500. They're excited about it. But not only that, we met with those are members of their board. And some of you may have heard recently over the last several years that Agape Help House kind of got a bad name for some fund mismanagement and things like that. We have every confidence in this board. I sat through a board meeting with them. They are professionals. They're all new people in leadership there. So the ministry is solid. I have a high trust level with them, and I think you can as well. We'll also be partnering with them to help do the things that they do at their ministry. They have a food pantry that they fund with their clothing thrift store, and they've got piles of clothes and that need to be sorted through, and there's things that we can do. We can get our hands dirty doing. We can get experience doing things for people that can't do for themselves. That's Agape Help House. The next one is Circle of Concern. And through Circle, we don't have pictures of the rest. Circle is a ministry for, this might come as a surprise to you, but these people actually exist. You may not have known. It's for the poor people in Rockwood, Parkway, and Valley Park school districts. As a matter of fact, Circle used to only serve Valley Park on the north side of Merrimack River. Now they're going to serve all of the Valley Park School District, in part because we're providing these funds. They were able to expand their ministry knowing this money was coming. We'll also participate with them. I don't know if you remember last May, you got a note in your mailbox that said, next week, put canned goods or box goods in your mailbox, and the postal service is going to collect those for a ministry. If you did, that's what it went to. We're going to fund that, and also we're going to staff as the food comes in, the mail trucks drop it off in Valley Park. We're going to stack everything on their shelves. We'll have a core of people. I think it'll be a fun thing for the church to participate in. So we're finding ways with these different ministries to get hands on. Haven House is a ministry that provides housing for people who are in need of medical care in St. Louis and they don't live in the area. And so they provide housing, they provide resources for their children, they provide food and everything like that, so they don't have that expense. Nancy and I have lived in rural areas of Missouri, and we just can't even imagine when our granddaughter spent 157 days in the NICU here at Mercy Hospital, what it would have been like for us if we didn't live just 90 miles away. What would it have been like for us if we lived hours and hours away? And so Haven House provides housing for that, and we're gonna. They're in the midst of transition. The housing unit that they had, they've given up their lease. Didn't think it fit their needs. They're going to build a new building, and in the transition time, they're going to use hotel space to house people, and we're gonna help defray some of the cost of that through our offering, but also have opportunities again to serve, to be hands-on with helping these people in that time of their life. The next one is our work at Merrimack School, and we are going to hire at Merrimack a reading specialist / volunteer coordinator. The idea will be to find a person who can interface with the school and help identify the needs of the children so that you can go volunteer to read and to interact in the way that they figure out we need volunteers the most. It's a great interface with that school. That school is going to go through some transition in the next year. I'm pretty excited about it. I know Brenda is really excited about what they're going to be doing. But it's an opportunity for us to make a big difference at that school. Now, let me just say this. I know a lot of you know that school is in an area of St. Louis that you just don't want to be at night. It's okay to go down there during the day. It's not unsafe. You can go down there during the day and serve and feel fine. We're going to get you out of there before the sun goes down, but it's okay to serve there. You can do this. We have staff members and volunteers that do this all the time. So I hope that you'll trust in that. The final one is Room at the Inn. We've been involved with Room at the Inn for a while. Room at the Inn is a ministry for the homeless to help people move from homelessness to self-sufficiency. And so in order to get them first into shelter, every night they stay overnight at a different church each night. We do that on the second Thursday of each month. We house people here at Living Word. They stay overnight. We have members of the church that stay with them. We also feed them dinner. And then we have a bus that goes and picks them up from their day facility and brings them here and then also brings them back in the morning. Those are volunteer opportunities for you right there. Their day facility then houses their training program, and they also have washer and dryer and kitchen facilities there at their day facility that are old. And so our funds are going to go to help renovate their kitchen, replace all the appliances. Let me tell you, I've been gone the latter part of this week, and I got to my office this morning at about 5:30 this morning, and looked, and I had voicemail, and I clicked on it, and we had just sent these letters to let these organizations know that they were going to be receiving these funds, and we wanted to set up a time to get together with them, hand them a check, get a picture so we could all wave and smile. To hear the voice of the directors of these organizations calling and going, I'm so excited to get that kind of grant from you. But it's not just your money they need. And it's not just your money you need to give. Our goal in life is not give money and serve needs. Our goal in life is to come closer and closer to being able to live out loving God and loving your neighbor. And it's through your funds and it's through your service that you condition your heart to be able to do that. Amen and amen.